Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Did you see the thing on CBS this morning, this week, about the original Siamese twins?
No.
I did.
No, I did not.
It was fascinating. Great. They came, they were essentially kidnapped.
Siamese twins.
I didn't know they were real.
Oh, and of course, back in those days in the childhood bedroom and only, for many, many years, Oscar believed he was turning Japanese.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Turning Japanese. That is so... I'm an Irish Jew, if you're wondering what my 23andMe heritage... I was 1%. Is it called...
Ashkenazi, I think it is.
Ashkenazi.
I've got that as well.
I do, too.
So does my mom, I think.
And so did Carla. So, rooted. But we'll talk to Rob about his, and especially, though, somebody we haven't talked to about it, Pony. And Pony, are there going to be, how about a little tease here? Will there be anything that'll surprise us?
Yes, you're my father.
That is a surprise.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Who had 2 weeks in the pool? I got rid of it. I can't do it. I can't do the
You look
the
much
beard.
Younger.
I noticed right away.
I can't
you look,
do the beard.
You look younger, but I would say less rugged.
It was not
There's nothing
a good
rugged
look.
About Mike.
No, I thought it was rugged.
No, it was not a good look. What happened was about midday yesterday, Carla looked at me and she just kind of giggled. And I said, because she said, Your beard is a weird color, and I think it's staining your skin, that shampoo you're using.
Oh, no.
For the beard.
So up close, she was able to see a different coloration?
My beard is snow white now. I do not have, I might have one or two darker beard hairs, but it's primarily Santa Claus white. So using this shampoo, which was a failed experiment.
We thought it was going to be a game changer.
We thought
though.
It was
to
the
be
solution.
I thought it might be
something.
I thought it might be interesting. It might have been. But then what it served to do is slightly darken the gray.
Mm-hmm.
And the slightly darkened gray looked like you wouldn't want to leave me with anybody. You wouldn't want to leave me in a room with anybody. It was just... nasty.
Or
it was
perhaps
nasty.
We
what are
needed.
They doing to the phones? Are
a,
they,
a
is
dirty white.
On the phone?
A dirty white. What,
is somebody doing something to the phone?
They might be programming a few things if they're doing for
yeah,
our new solution. For our new solution.
All right.
Yes.
So let me just say I said last night, Carl and I had a date night last night. We went out to dinner, and I said, "That's it. I'm not. It's off tomorrow." And I feel so smooth and clean. Left the sideburns, which you can't see, a little longer, but I'm back to my usual beard. And so
can
that's
you take
it.
Off your
so,
headphones so we can see the sideburns?
No, I may not. No, I cannot.
Really?
No, it's just this. That's all.
Okay, well, you made it sound like
it's
you were going to be like Dylan McKay from
no,
902.
No,
I love
no,
that.
No.
Look, yeah. Lamb chops.
Nice.
No, here's the thing. Age appropriateness.
Yes.
It applies to men and to women. This is the Harley Owners Group standard white Van Dyke beard.
I thought about you.
I will hold on.
I thought about you this morning. Do you have anything about Harley in the news today?
No, I don't. No.
Harley Davidson is issuing bicycles and battery operated bicycles now because they're afraid they're skewing too old.
Their market share is dying.
And so I thought of you because you always talked about how everyone at the Harley Owners Group had gray beards.
I don't know if I'm necessarily the typical customer that had a very short window of love for riding.
Yeah.
I'll still rent a bike once in a while. I'll do that. I'm not going to close the door on that. But no, it became apparent to me when every third day there's a story about a 65-year-old that gets hit on his motorcycle.
Sure.
It's just my window is very small.
The insurance commercials for motorcycles are like the older guy who like finally his kids are teenagers so he can actually go ride his motorcycle up the road.
Right.
And didn't Harley sort of price themselves out of the younger market too?
I, all I know is my passion
for Harleys was intense. It burned very brightly.
Yes.
And it diminished when I got down here and I had other diversions. So I think I'm an exception to the rule. I think there's still plenty of friends of mine that love to ride, that are on motorcycles all the time. But at the same time, when you come down here and the state bird is a siren,
yes,
it's a very scary bird. Environment to hear, because you hear that all the time. And I just didn't feel like the last time I was on it, I was like, this is not cool being on this thing. It's
without
dangerous.
A helmet.
Yeah. So thank you. You'll never let me let that one. That one down.
Papa, why?
You're not Ben Roethlisberger. Cut that out.
It's scary. Listen, we have a significant mailbag today.
Yes, we do.
So I want to dive right into it because I want to lead with something we talked about yesterday, because I got a great letter and I want to share it with you. So it's time. Not all about us. It's all about you, ladies and gentlemen. There it is. There it is. Write me a letter. It's time for our mailbag, and I wanted to leave. This one was not intended for the mailbag, but I wanted to share it anyway.
Okay.
This is, I'm not going to mention who sent it to me, because I think this person probably would appreciate no names in this. But yesterday we had that giant discussion about Leaving Neverland. It is making a big splash now with Michael Jackson defenders getting a lot of press. You never know. Don't we all know the truth? Probably when we get to the happy hunting ground, nobody knows 100%. But no. I'll tell you, the documentary appeared, at least to my eyes, to be quite damning. And regardless of what the situation is with Michael Jackson, it's a very serious issue when you think of that. And there's just nothing worse in my mind that could happen than somebody doing that to a 7-year-old boy. It was absolutely horrible. This is the letter I got yesterday, because I wanted to clarify some things, because I said some things. Not necessarily with malicious intent, but with lack of knowledge. And I was enlightened by this letter, and I wanted to share it. This gentleman writes me, I called the show today and waited on hold while you guys were talking about Leaving Neverland. I was calling in because you said something on Monday's show, then repeated it again, that really hit me as being truly offensive. I don't for a minute think you're trying to be offensive. Instead, I'm guessing you're not aware at what you're saying and that it is offensive. I get that. Before I go any further, you should understand that my personal perspective is that I'm a survivor of child sex abuse. Leaving Neverland has hit me in the solar plexus like a 20-ton battering ram. Even if after having been in therapy for 20-plus years, during the course of my life, the emotional wounds never completely heal. I still struggle with depression and bouts of feeling completely worthless. I always cringe when you talk about your own self-loathing and self-destructiveness on the show, because I know those thought processes better than I know my own friends. I don't say any of this to evoke sympathy. We're all broken in our own ways, and this just happens to be mine. But I digress. What you said felt like emotional fingernails on a chalkboard. When you were talking about the biological urge for men to get off, it is associated, as it is associated with child sexual abuse. Rob even chimed in with calling it the wiring. To say that child sexual abuse is just about guys just looking to get off is just wrong. That's tantamount to saying that rape is about sexual desire. It's not. Both of these things are about power. The sexual component is just a small part of the overall abuse. For most abusers like Michael Jackson, it's about emotional manipulation, separation, and exerting control, all things which I should point out were pretty well discussed in that documentary. I will not deny that some abusers derive some kind of sexual pleasure from the act itself, but for most, it's what leads to the act. That's what they get off on. Here's the truly disturbing part of what Michael Jackson did. He made those boys love him. I'm sure you saw both of those men still loved something about Michael Jackson, even at the time of filming. Yeah, I did see that. I know I saw and felt that. I guarantee Michael Jackson honestly believed that he couldn't hurt a child, because he viewed what he was doing as being okay, because he couched it in love, because that's what he needed to feel. That's because all abuse is selfish. For abusers, the setup to allow them to abuse a child is all about filling some effed up hole in their psyche. And honestly, that's about 90% of the whole abuse cycle. The sexual part is awful. Don't ever think otherwise. But the damage they cause to be able to do that, that's what stays with you the rest of your life. Please, please don't couch sexual abuse in terms of guys have a biological need to get off. It's an oversimplification of a truly complex, devastating act. It comes off as a cop out to explain away evil and pernicious behavior, and it can make survivors feel less valid in the recovery. And by the way, please let Carla, whom I love, know that while she is initially correct that men perpetrate these crimes 70% of the time, there are often women who are complicit in these crimes because they refuse to believe allegations or, like those two stellar moms in Leaving Neverland, just look the other way and choose to be ignorant by placing false trust in people. Women almost always are accomplices in one way or another. I hope no one in your realm of family and friends ever has to deal with this issue. I know my life's course was permanently altered by my abuser, and honestly, there have been times I didn't think I could or even deserve to experience happiness. I was terrified watching James Safechuck during the Oprah interview because he honestly looked as though he would have been completely satisfied to end it all right then and there. Trust me, I know that feeling. Mike, I pray I didn't come off as being too preachy. I respect the hell out of you and your team. I think you are all truly good people and, like the rest of us, struggle with hard issues like this. But I felt it necessary to reach out, and I wanted to say thank you to this individual. Yeah. I told him personally. I wrote him a very, very nice note today because, I mean, that is enlightening, and I think that's really, really important to share that with our listening audience because I did, you know, I come from a place of ignorance. Yep. I fully acknowledge that, and my, you know, every now and then, you know, you get somebody who sends something to you, and you say, that makes a hell of a lot of sense. You're not going to hear me talking about the men and their needs when it comes to the world of sexual abuse. And that that sounded like a pretty gut-wrenching situation that that guy was living in. And I appreciate the enlightenment. I really do. Let's move right on to the rest of the mailbag here. It says, hi, Mike, Rob, and Oscar. 3 weeks ago, my father was involved in a car accident. He survived the accident, but not without a severe concussion, broken ribs, broken shoulder, and whiplash.
Oof. Mm.
For 10 days after the accident, he was bounced between the hospital ICU and neurological departments, and things remained touch and go. While my father's health bounced all over the place, my mental state became frayed, which affected not only myself, but also my family. Through the tears and anger, there were not many places for me to go to calm down. However, TMOS, regular, and bonus helped me come out of the darkness I was experiencing. What a great letter this is. I can now say that my father was released from the ICU last week and is in rehab, physical, occupational, and speech therapy. Even though he has a long road ahead, his recovery thus far has been great, so I wanted to send an email to say thank you to TMOS for the last 3 weeks. It has been my escape, and it ensures that I can be a strong cheerleader for my father during his recovery. A bonus show subscriber and fan for life, Mark D. Let's give Mark that round of applause.
Attaboy, Dad.
I got to tell you something. That's just another 6 months for me when I read a letter like that.
Yeah.
That just is so gratifying to know that we do that, you know, every day. It's just magnificent. What a wonderful
letter.
I love
that he's going to be a cheerleader for his dad because his dad, that rehab stuff is tough. So if we can help be a part of that, that's awesome.
Heavy mailbag today, but it happens once in a while. Hi, guys. Yesterday was the 37th birthday of my amazing wife, Jen Hanley. This past summer, she chose to leave her career in order to stay home with our two boys, ages 4 and 7, and go on endless adventures with them. She keeps the entire house running, does almost all the cooking, cleaning, and grocery shopping, and even learned to use the snowblower this winter.
This is a keeper. Wow! She's a keeper.
Nice.
You know, whenever I hear the females in my family wax romantically about blizzards, I always say, of course you did. You sat inside and drank wine while I sweated my balls out with a shovel and a snowblower. Mm.
Remember when she figured out how to use the corkscrew?
This lady also puts up with my shenanigans most of the time. My constant late nights working at a job I love and my stupid beard face. Well, I got rid of my stupid beard. Well, I still have a beard, but it's just not the same beard.
Van Dyke.
Jen is the glue that holds our family together. Her unending efforts to feed and dress and somehow love three smelly, loud, rambunctious boys, myself included, deserves special mention. She has been an avid listener of the show since we got married 10 years ago this coming September, but I have never once put forth the effort to get her a birthday mention on the show.
Come on.
I also didn't get her a card.
Ooh.
Yes, I know I suck, but I'm hoping this birthday shout out makes up for it. I love her so much, and she's so much better than me in every way. Wow! So please, can you guys sing the traditional birthday song for my wonderful wife, Jen? She's incredibly selfless, generous, witty, and so supportive. And after all these years together, she still manages to keep it tight. You're welcome, Oscar.
Nice.
Thanks for making Jen's birthday extra special. Love you guys almost as much as I love my wife. Matt Hanley, let's sing a birthday song for Jen. 3, 2, 1.
Snowblower.
Jen. Moving right along. Dear Mike O'Mara Show, I have thought about starting this letter many times. So I'm sorry if it turns out long and scatterbrained. I've been listening to the show since 2010. I still remember the first time I listened, hearing the original cast after pressing play on my iPod Touch.
I love that she refers to us as the original cast, like we're Fiddler on the Roof.
If I were a rich man. You guys have been with me all through college, my graduation, my wedding, my marriage, and my divorce.
Oh.
And you're with me every day at work now. Your podcast is something I genuinely look forward to every day. As a person that doesn't have a great relationship with their father, I think it fills a really specific void for me. Please don't ever stop doing the show. I thank you all so much for being a consistent source of laughter in my life. Thank you for being imperfect people. What? Excuse me?
I don't think she's talking about you, Mike.
Thank you for being imperfect people. Thank you for Pony, Maddie, and the interns. Thank you, Rob, for being old school, even when Oscar hates it. Thank you, Oscar, for striving to stay young. Thank you, Mike, for caring about your craft. And thank you all for sharing your lives. This is a really warm, fuzzy mailbag today. Hearing your different perspectives, minus the misogyny, thanks for the alarm, and stories, makes my day. I don't know what I would... You want to hear it? Hit it again?
Yeah, I do.
Fingers. Someday. I don't know what you would do. I don't know what I would do without the show. I try to be as open-minded as you guys, as smart as Rob, and as fun-loving as Mike.
Right.
And as motivated as Oscar. You all have been a great inspiration for me. Name and address withheld.
Nice. Why'd you withhold your name and address, for God's sake? That was a nice letter.
Come on. Moving right along. Hey, boys. Greetings from Portland, Maine. I spent a large part of my youth listening to old records with my grandfather, but little did I know how much of them had stuck with me until recently. A few days ago, a local radio station was running a fundraiser where people donate money to request specific music, and some of it was very strange. I was driving with my wife while listening to the fundraiser when they played Jimmy Durante's Inka Dinka Doo. And absentmindedly, I started to sing along. This is Inka Dinka Doo, Jimmy Durante right here. Listen to Jimmy, please.
The man had a large nose.
Yes, he did. My wife took one look at me. He's also the guy that sings Frosty the Snowman.
Exactly.
Frosty the Snowman. And if you watch Frosty the Snowman, he's the narrator, you know?
Yeah.
Karen took Frosty all the way up to the North Pole. My wife took one look at me and said, "Oh, my God, I married Rob Spiewak." At first, I thought it was a compliment until I saw the look of embarrassment on her face. I kept singing anyway. She doesn't know how good she has it. One last thing. Yesterday, I turned 50. If Dr. Nicholas Van Helsing is around, I could sure use some healthy living advice as I slide downhill towards my 60s.
Robert, your partner, I hope you're doing fine. This is Dr. Nicholas Van Helsing, doctor of proctology and other related tendencies from the University of Rangoon.
Thanks for always making me smile. I love you guys. Pete Cognac. I'm sorry, Hennessy.
That's right.
Pete Hennessy. Fine beverage. I hold in my hand.
Woo!
The last letter.
Hi-oh!
Yeah!
Hi-oh! Woo!
May a nervous sparrow fly up your mother's hoop skirt.
Hi-oh! Hoop skirt.
Dear Mike, I'm writing you because I have a penis problem.
What?
What it says right here on the page. It's not a problem with my penis. In fact, my penis is the only member of this story that I hold blameless. Wow. Oh, boy. My problem deals with quantity and more specifically, a lack of, you know, those things in my life. You see, I have three daughters, 6, 7, and 8, and my wife is expecting our fourth child. We just found out that our fourth will also be a girl.
Ooh. Hey!
Wow. Aside from the news being incredibly disappointing.
I applaud him for actually writing that.
He's honest.
Yeah.
It also represents a 33% increase in my vaginal responsibility. Being a quarter Irish, I too wanted to find something to blame for this predicament. At first, I wanted to blame my wife and her womb. But that wouldn't be fair. Then I wanted to blame the universe for such bad luck. But eventually, I accepted the truth. The problem is my lazy, good-for-nothing, pot-addled male sperm that are about as effective as my nipples. Every damn time I send them out to do their job, they get easily distracted and start swimming in lazy circles inside the uterus. This is a funny letter. Meanwhile, my industrious female sperm are dutifully swimming past their idiot brothers and make their way up the fallopian tubes where they can actually get down to the business at hand.
Yeah, do it.
It appears that I am a bit of an anomaly. I've created male sperms that are so lazy, they are actually incapable of taking after their father. Let me close with this. Thank God my daughters take after their mother. Regards, Ryan Zdanowicz. Thank you, Ryan. What
lazy
a wonderful
sperm,
leather.
Man. Lazy.
That's it. Absolutely.
Congratulations.
And now we can actually start the show, Rob Spiewak.
Yeah,
we really can.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Mr. Rothstein. Maybe you didn't know it, but Don Ward is a very well-liked man in this town. He's got lots of friends here, nice family, and their money go back many, many years. Now, friends vote. Family and money votes. That's important to me and you. And if you'll think about our little problem along them lines, and you forgive me for saying it, maybe he did not deserve to be fired.
I'm sorry, but he knew about our getting hit on 3 big machines in a row and he did nothing about it. That means either he was in on it, or forgive me for saying this, he was too dumb to see what was going on. Either way, I cannot have a man like that working here.
Before we point the dirty end of the stick at old Don, we better be sure we can prove them charges.
Believe me, if I could prove it, he would be under arrest.
Are we certain that you want the Gaming Control Board eyeballing your record and your gangster pals like Nicky Santoro?
I think you're way out of line talking to me like that. What you're saying is libelous, and you're in no position to challenge my expertise. I went way out of my way to be very helpful and courteous to that kid. He's weak, he's incompetent, he jeopardizes the whole place. There's not much more I can do for him.
You have got me there. Old Don is as useless as tits on a boar. But he is my brother-in-law, and I would look on it as a personal favor if you'd think some more on hiring him back.
I can't do that, and I appreciate the fact that he's your brother-in-law, and I do want to help you, and I like to do favors, and I know who you are, but I cannot do that.
Well, could there be any position farther down the trough?
I'm sorry, I can't do anything. He's too incompetent, and the bottom line is he cannot be trusted.
Ace, you moron.
Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Oscar, were you and I having an Uncle Billy moment with Ace Rothstein there? It's like, Ace, well, you know, with your peach-colored suit, yeah. You moron, all you have to do is give that guy a
job
at the buffet.
Give him a job.
The trough. Whatever. Anything. You'll never have to see him.
Then they blew up his world. Yeah. He had a tantrum in front of the county commissioners.
Mike. Ego. Ego.
Ego. It's what it is. It's ego.
But it's so racist.
That's just serious. You play that clip, and I just had an Uncle Billy moment.
Yeah.
I watch Casino every time, and I go, oh, you moron.
That's Robert De Niro putting the deposit in the newspaper.
It's Robert De Niro just effing himself, and that guy comes in, gives him every
opportunity.
Smooth about it. you know? And by the way, that's one of the I wish I knew the actor's name. One of the great cameos in movie history is that guy that plays the county commissioner. Just an old Western actor.
So great.
Fantastic job. Hey, if you haven't seen Casino, come on. Live from the Podcast Village studios at our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show. We're delighted to have you here. For our newbies, sit back, relax, enjoy the show. Spread the word. Tell people about this. You heard the letters. People dig this show.
Yeah.
It's a nice distraction. From Annapolis, Maryland to Gridley.
You haven't rewritten that yet?
Right. No.
You want me to mail you a Sharpie?
Yeah, sure. No, I'll get a Sharpie. Hold on.
I'm kidding, Sharpie.
Findedly.
All right.
Findedly.
Wait, pull back, a little further back.
Yeah, a little back, a little back.
Oh, yeah. And.
All right.
You made a bad R and a horrible G.
The D and the L stuck to each other, so it becomes.
Who put them together?
I did. I'm an idiot. Gridley, California, Surfside Beach, South Carolina, Long Island, New York, Fairbanks, Alaska, Tokyo, Japan, and the Mike O'Mara Show. On now. I'll do a new one tomorrow.
A new one.
Hey, we need more cities. Get me more cities. I want send your cities. If you'd like to have your city or town or hamlet or village.
Burg.
Or rest stop.
Village.
I think I said village. Anyway, the show today brought to you by 23andMe. Nowadays, we can use data to learn about how we are. And I'm not talking about the robot from Star Trek. 23andMe allows you to go beyond ancestry to access more personalized insights about you based on your DNA. I've done deep dives on 23andMe. It's so cool. Receiving your personalized genetic reports is just the beginning. You can take the next steps by talking to your healthcare provider or considering lifestyle changes to be a better you. Carla is predisposed to late onset macular degeneration, so she's already starting to take better care of her eyes.
That's
because
great.
Of that. You can learn things like a deep sleep report. If you've always suspected you feel sleepier than others after missing out on a night of sleep, you might be not imagining things. Your genes might be involved. Alcohol flush reaction report.
I have that.
You have that?
Yes.
Does alcohol turn your cheeks as pink as a glass of rosé?
Mm-hmm.
Learn about the genetic factors that make it hard for some people to process alcohol, although it's not really stopped our boy, has it?
No. He almost flushed himself down the toilet.
Your cheeks flush, that is your all-time tell. Have you done a deep dive on your cheeks flushing? Because they flush all the time. They flush when you're stressed.
Absolutely. But it actually does. Alcohol is a trigger for it as well, and I was fascinated to find that out.
There's also a saturated fat and weight report. Learn if you're likely to weigh more on a diet high in saturated fat, even if you consume the same number of calories as somebody else. All of us at TMOS did 23andMe. I love it. And our results are fascinating. See what your genes can say about your health, your traits, and more. Buy your Health Plus Ancestry Service Kit today at 23andMe.com/TMOS. That's the number 23andme.com/TMOS. Again, that's 23andme.com/TMOS. And when you get yours, share it if you feel like
it.
Yeah,
let us know.
If you want to hear it, I'd love to hear an interesting, if it's not too sad, I'd love to hear, where you're from and what's going on. Because people are out there in our listening audience. We haven't talked about this since we've had our association with 23andMe. And pass this along to the advertising powers at 23andMe. I'd really like to hear from our listeners because I'd love to talk about their 23andMe reports. And I'd love to hear from somebody who gets a wild card, has absolutely no idea where they might be from and said, you know, for their entire lives, they thought they were like a descendant of the pilgrims. And then they find out that, they're coming from Genghis Khan or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe you're Japanese like Oscar.
Yeah.
Yes,
you remember we found that out, right?
Right.
We
had you were proof. Part Japanese.
My mom had her 23andMe done and she is 21.8% Japanese. And she
did she know this?
2% Korean.
Wow.
She's real.
You know, he joked about you looking like Kim Jong for so long.
I know.
And now
but he
I
was
realize
in shape, though.
He was Kim Jong-un, not to be confused. Who was the dad? Kim Jong-il, right?
Kim Jong-il, that's right.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Your mom is what percentage Japanese?
She is 21.8% Japanese and 2% Korean.
And did she have any idea she had this Asian heritage?
She said that she remembers one of her grandparents looking a little Asian.
Uh-huh.
And they used to, look, this is Latin America, right? So they used to kind of joke around and be like, oh, you're probably Japanese. But they didn't know it was Japanese. They didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were, my mom comes from a like a farmer, rural family.
Right.
And of course, back in those days in the childhood bedroom in Olney, for many, many years, Oscar believed he was turning Japanese.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Turning Japanese. That is so intense. That
also, really, my mom, really 42.7%, as you can tell, Latin American. They call it Native American here. But the first
country. Turning Japanese.
The first.
Turning Japanese. I really think so.
There it is.
Turning Japanese.
Jerry Todd.
Turning Japanese. I really think so.
Okay.
So we've had Bolivia, Peru in the Native American portion of 23andMe.
Uh-huh.
This is the first time we've seen, even my father didn't have this, Mexico. Mexico is part of the three top tier countries from what was the continent of the Americas that you actually
where
see
did
this.
The did the Japanese come from?
My mother's mother. No, I'm sorry. My mother's father's mother.
Your mother's father's mother.
Yeah.
Did it because Japanese people had come to South America?
Or did
he travel? I mean, out of that's a long
did
way.
Did he travel? I mean,
Bolivia and Japan, you know, especially back in the day. And I would think that your ancestors, you know, it's not exactly
and
like
there's
air
no
travel.
Railroad in Bolivia. There wasn't back then.
Well, a railroad wouldn't help you get to Japan.
Well, I mean, could there be migrant workers is what I'm talking about.
I see.
Yes. History.
Could there be a chance of a deeper dive where you'd be able to find out how that happened?
Look, two things happened when I saw this. One, I was just so happy to, like, we're getting some context for a lineage. And Mike, you mentioned this earlier. I can't believe you get to do this with your parents because you're getting answers that you might not have gotten otherwise.
And Japanese was never anywhere
on the
in Asia.
Never
was
on the
never
radar,
on the
really.
Radar.
And then I sat here and I'm like, mother effing pony. He could have gone to my motherland and told me all about it.
Yeah would have been and great. Found out about this.
Yeah.
Did anybody else on the show? Has anybody else on the show done it? Because we ought to get Pony to do it and Maddie
I
to
did
do it.
It
and
you did it?
You did it? What are your...
Hello?
Come into the studio.
Yeah, come into,
come into the studio.
Yes.
And because I'd like to hear what Pony's results were. My question to you, so you had no idea, nothing was ever brought up. This is... You never had an Elizabeth Warren moment or anything like that?
No, I have one... My sister has not. My mom has nine brothers and sisters, and right. one of their little sisters. Her nickname was China, right?
China,
which is like
China,
China, right?
Right.
Like the wrestler.
Like the wrestler. Yes. Like the
not
wrestler.
Not to be confused with Black China.
No. Reality. Okay.
Which, by the way, looks great on a red tablecloth.
So, that was a different girl. You what? Are a racist.
I don't know.
God damn. So. I'm sitting here and I'm like, that's why you called the tia niña China, right? And I was like, did you call her China all the time? And by the way, is that appropriate? Who knows?
No, but it's interesting because this is one of the nine
had these
who was
eyes.
Referred to because she appeared to be Asian.
Yes. Latin Asian.
You just wonder where you would come across someone who was Japanese.
In
the travels in Bolivia,
yeah.
Is there an Asian population in Bolivia?
A traveling salesman. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There
did
it
you
is.
See? Did you yes. see the thing on CBS this morning this week about the original Siamese twins?
No,
I did.
No, I did not.
It was fascinating.
Great.
They came. They were essentially kidnapped.
Siamese twins.
I didn't know they were real.
They were essentially kidnapped and put into servitude to tour America in the early 1800s as like a freak show. They got out of their contract and they settled in North Carolina because the mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountains, reminded them of Thailand, or back then Siam. The same town where Andy Griffith was born is where the Siamese twins ended up. And between the two of them had 21 kids.
Yeah.
Do you think any of them moved to Bolivia?
I can only say 100% yes.
Because I you said that there was back in the day, way back when, there was an Asian population in Bolivia.
The only reason I mentioned that is because of the years I've gone back to Bolivia, there was for a little kid, there was an, or it could have been my inner genetics saying, oh, there's an Asian person. Oh, there's an Asian person. Because as you remember, Bolivia was
so you kind of, involuntarily would be observant.
I would process
hey, there's an Asian person in Bolivia.
Yeah, and this is in La Paz, primarily the capital. And you should know that at that point, this is I'm not proud of, is Bolivia was so racist against their own people of like darker skin, just like
indigenous
people. But if you had an African American, it was considered good luck. And my aunt at the time would pinch me. She'd be like, "Oh, there's an African American," and I get a little pinch.
You know, I know we've been heavy like the last couple of days, but
not appropriate.
Watching,
clearly,
watching
just
the
what happened.
Hold it, just seeing an African American was considered.
I'm not proud of this.
Good
just,
luck.
I don't even know why I just mentioned
watching
it.
that movie that was nominated for Academy Award, Roma, which I thought was a phenomenal film, black and white film. I never tracked with the discrimination that goes on in Latin American countries between light-skinned people from Mexico and indigenous peoples that have darker skin. That exists just like any. It's just amazing.
It's within the cultures. It's not black and white. It's like this. Because
it's within the culture. It's within like the culture. Who's,
it's prominent in the Indian culture as well. If you are darker,
the caste system.
Yeah, if
in
you're
India,
darker Indian, you are considered. Wow. It's between lighter Indian. It's just surreal that actually happens within,
and there's
within
something,
races.
Something in the news right now. There is an undercurrent of dissatisfaction that Will Smith is going to play the Williams sisters' father in a movie.
Yes,
and they're saying he's not dark enough to do it.
He's not black enough.
Yeah,
it still exists.
It exists.
It's a man. And by the way, was it yesterday or the day before? Anyway, I go back to 1967. And watch a movie because it reminds me of my father. Spencer Tracy always reminds me of my father. Mm-hmm. And I go back and watch Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Right.
And I suddenly got this overwhelming feeling of sadness because back then there was that trailblazing content in that movie and how, you know, little we've progressed.
And let me clarify.
And just the time we've worked together, Mike, haven't we felt several times that we were on the precipice of things getting better?
Yeah.
And then it's two steps back.
And two steps back as we are.
My father is darker. My mother is lighter skinned.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, of all people, he would fall in that class of like the indigenous. And I remember growing up, I didn't understand what this rift was between what my mom would call La Sangre Azul, the blue bloods, and the indigenous. Mm-hmm. And you just as you grow up, and especially in this world of, you know, you can YouTube anything, you can Google anything, and you. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a very inclusive neighborhood and really a high school and then college and now what we do for a living, it's a different time. So looking back, you're like, man, it's just there's so much that at least I got to see in Latin America that was so off base that just didn't make sense where
with
now
discrimination
you,
and
yeah, but I mean even
the
logic
in
that in the 80s you would get like pinched because there was a black man on the street and it was considered good luck because then there wasn't enough minorities there. Like
it's just weird.
Right?
I mean, it's the,
like
it's
the game
our whole
punch
human,
buggy.
It's our whole human condition. And speaking of a non-human condition, we're going to talk to Pony in a second here and do a deep dive. And we're also going to revisit Rob because mine was Irish. Yeah. Shocker.
All green. Yeah.
I'm an Irish Jew, if you're wondering what my 23andMe heritage. I was 1%. Is it called
Ashkenazi, I think it is.
Ashkenazi.
I've got that as well.
I do too.
So does my mom, I think.
And so did Carla. So, rooted. But we'll talk to Rob about his, and especially though somebody we haven't talked to about it, Pony. And Pony, are there going to be, how about a little tease here? Will there be anything that'll surprise us?
Yes, you're my father.
That is a surprise.
We'll take a break and come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, everybody. It's Rob and Joe. I'm Rob, the better looking and funnier of the two.
I think you have that backwards. I, Joe, am considered better looking and funnier.
I don't know about that. Well, who's the smarter one?
Smarter, we're both morons.
Very true. We are both idiots. And you can listen to us idiots every week at robandjoeshow.com, on iTunes, and on the new Mike O'Mara Show app.
Rob Stummer.
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by OpenFit. Getting fit and staying healthy is always easier said than done. Well, OpenFit is bringing you something new that makes it even easier to never miss a sweat session. Lose the commute to the gym and let the workouts come to you. Everyone's bodies are different, and OpenFit gets that. which is why it's personalized to your needs with custom-tailored original content. Open Fit classes are led by some of the most effective and engaging trainers in the world. These trainers know how to get you results quickly, and you can do it in your home.
Yes.
It's super simple. Just press play and work out on your schedule. View it and do it on your computer, your web-enabled TV, your tablet, your smartphone, your Roku, anytime, anywhere. Do it in your kitchen. Do it in your living room. Do it in your bedroom. Lose up to 15 pounds in just the first 30 days. Flatten your abs, shape your body, and look and feel great. Open Fit has changed the way Oscar works out. It's changed the way Carla works out. All you have to do is use the code TMOS. You can join Carla and Oscar on a fitness journey personalized just for you. I hope you're following Carla, what she does hers, because she's diligent.
Activewear.
Again, use the code TMOS and start using Open Fit for your journey to a healthier life. Right now, during the Open Fit 30-Day Challenge, our listeners get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to Open Fit, where you can lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days. All you have to do is text TMOS to 303030. That's it. It's TMOS. Text it to 303030. You get full access to Open Fit, all the workouts and nutrition information totally free. Again, text TMOS to 303030. I didn't think we were going to be having a 23andMe show, but I didn't realize that we had not grilled Pony.
Learned a lot.
On his. Now, the first time, I always thought Pony was Jewish because his name was Matt Bloom.
Yeah.
And then he said, no, it's not the Jewish Bloom. It's another Bloom. But anyway, let's get right to his 23andMe results. First of all, the results, 23, you are going to live?
Yes, absolutely. That's absolutely.
How much Manassas holiday. Did you find?
None Manassas, thank you.
Okay.
21.5% ineffective, it came up.
So. Okay, what do you have?
I am actually, I thought I was German-Scottish growing up, and it turns out I'm actually German-French, which is not that crazy a difference, but...
That explains the kissing.
Yeah.
Also, with tongues. Also the Hansons, that menage a trois bit you got.
It is French.
And I see the French. And the cooking. And the cooking.
Yeah, I see. And the smoking back in the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. I see the French in you. So you're primarily German and French?
Yeah, 39.4% German and French, and then 34% British-Irish.
Whoa. You could be like a secret agent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywhere else in the world?
It drops off pretty sharp there. 4% Italian and then 1% Ashkenazi Jew. I think everybody seems to have
is
some
everybody
of that.
Ashkenazi Jewish?
Is
they one of the original peoples of the world?
I think so. I don't have my stats in front of me, but as I recall, I was 14% Ashkenazi Jew, which makes sense because I'm 1/8 by blood coming down. So
what was yours? What was your breakdown?
It was about 40% Eastern European, which makes sense for my Polish heritage, and then the Ashkenazi Jew, and then also the rest of it, the Great Britain, United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, very white-skinned Irish. No Scottish, though. I didn't have any Scottish.
We are here at the Spiewak family reunion from Eastern Europe. All the Spiewaks gather around, everybody, right now. The Stout Cups and the Spiewaks now.
Hoi! Hoi!
Munich at the furniture. Get the tomatoes out of the garden. Yes, indeed.
See, the Stout Cups, so that's Dutch, and there's some of that in there, too. That comes from the Dutch area.
I don't
area.
Have Dutch music.
Pony, did you...
Well, that explains the wooden shoes.
Were you Eastern Germany or Western Germany?
It doesn't say. It just says French German.
I think
French,
we know.
German.
If
and
you've ever talked to Pony off mic, I think you know which side of the wall he's on.
La Résistance.
So I get the French thing. You could be. I get the whole French kind of thing.
Yeah, you look French. Like, you look French.
How are you? Oh, P.
You also dress like monochromatic, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I could see you at a sidewalk cafe.
Yeah,
talking badly about tourists.
Did you look at any of your health stuff?
Yeah, I'm actually unlikely to flush with the alcohol flush reaction. Caffeine consumption, likely to consume more. Not a deep sleeper. Genetic weight, predisposed to weigh about average, which is...
That's not true.
Average for a stick.
Waif.
Yeah. Likely lactose tolerant, muscle composition, common in elite power athletes.
All right, so was I.
So
what's
was I.
What's going on?
I wasn't. No, this uncommon.
Okay, something's uncommon. Going on here.
You know what's amazing?
Something's going on.
If you
what's
go
the
back
deal
to
with
our
common
days?
In elite? That, you know what that tells me? That tells me that most people are probably predisposed.
No.
What?
If I'm frank, Pony's the outlier here. The three people I know that... Oh no, my wife, who's athletic, she's definitely in that category.
Right.
Remember, there are three categories. Either you're not in that category, or you are. And then there's a top tier that's like 20%. That it are the elite athletes.
My body index is common in elite power
it's
athletes.
The That's way what I got that to you're them. Built and the way okay. that you're built would allow yeah. for power.
Really?
In your legs, yes.
So we have the parts.
True. Yes, you have the parts. You right. just used them wrong.
No. I mean, in my day, I played varsity hockey.
Yeah.
And I played baseball. Yeah. And I'm a 13 handicap golfer at the age of 59. But you know what? I think that here's the only thing I can tell you. Out of the percentage of my lifetime that I have really worked out, it's 0.4%.
Yes.
I have, it has come, building muscle has come very quickly to me.
That would give you the composition.
That makes sense. That
yes.
makes sense.
You know, yes.
That's it.
My father is not an athlete, but he is, I would say, closer to Mike's size.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got, and I remember even as a younger man, in a weird way, when he would go work out, I'd go with him like to Bally's. I'm sure a kid wants to be in Bally's when he's like 12.
Did you think it was the casino?
No. Okay. I would run around that track and then just watch my dad work out in the leer at women. And
Leer. And Mike, he was leering at women.
Leer yeah, at women.
Sure. He was ogling them.
Like, that's not mom, but I'll take another lap. And I remember just being like, oh, like my dad's in pretty good shape. Like if he wanted to, he could get in good shape.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
right.
he's predisposed to that.
With me, I remember when they popped in my artificial hip and the doctor said, boy, you were tough to deal with. I said, yeah, I had to go through a lot of stomach and stuff like that. No, you don't get it. He said, your muscle mass was ridiculous.
Look at
really?
That.
It was ridiculous. He said, yeah. He said this to me. He said, I've never operated on anyone that had where it was that difficult to get through to that. It was just, I guess, the composition that I had down there, was thick. And I guess if I really wanted to work at it, but as I said, most of my adult life,
it could have been a contender.
Rob, I have to ask you this question.
Yes.
Was there, do you ever remember a time in your life where you had exercised or worked out to the point of feeling strong?
Fit.
Ever.
Yes. I have never done any sort of strength training at all. Now, you've been with
like
me.
Even in high school. Never,
no,
like,
no.
You've never lifted a weight. You never lifted a weight.
No,
training.
But you know what?
You could have been, I mean, your body mass.
He's the blind side.
But imagine it back in the day in like high school. If you'd hit the weights, you probably could have been.
Line up in front of a SPWAC. Oh my God!
Really?
Well, I mean
if he was on an offensive line or a defensive line,
I have all the time in the world.
My dad's brothers had. I mean, he had athletes. His brothers were athletes, and my Uncle Dave went to school on a sports scholarship.
Did your dad play sports?
He was not dedicated enough to do it, but he did. I think he played freshman and JV football, and he did stuff like that. But it was never.
And you're bigger than your father.
He's taller than me, but I'm bigger than him.
You would have been probably.
But Mike, as you know, I come from a broken home.
So you not even in childhood, not even like in middle school or high school.
In high school, I feel like they force you to take weight training. No?
Here is something I may have never said before that I think
that's
you
interesting.
All find.
I would think that they would have done.
Well,
that
I mean, you had to day. Like. I mean, I did it like in class, but I was dicking around the whole time. I wasn't actually doing anything. There's nothing to be realized from that. I was the guy making jokes in the corner. You know, they had the stack of tumbling mats.
Yeah,
sit on those and say, "Look at that jackass." That was me and Jim. I did not have a good relationship with the athletic department.
He thinks he's doing anything with those abs.
When you looked at that, was there ever a time?
Yeah.
That
sit on the mats.
Yeah.
Because was there ever a time, just based on size alone, that you said, you know, you, for example, I'm sure you went to a high school football. Maybe you didn't.
Did you ever go to high school? Sure.
You went to a high school football game, mm-hmm. and you'd look on the sideline, and you'd see the guys there, and you go, I'm bigger than those guys.
Yeah.
And did that ever?
Well, mostly what I said is, that is a nice ass.
Hope they come to the play.
No, but you know what?
I always thought that if Rob had played ball in, in school, he would have been good at it because he had the body mass.
I was always strong enough to get stuff done. I mean, there was heavy lifting to do. I delivered furniture for years. The garden work, you had to pick up heavy stuff and do that stuff. I never trained at it. And even when I did you know, the 20 minute periods when I'd be skinny. I was never about gaining muscle mass. It was just about losing weight. I have never in my life, never done a pull up. I can't. I just can't.
Okay, pull-ups are hard.
That is hard. I think people. What about this? Have you ever, especially when you're working with your grandfather?
Right.
That's a lot. Look, there's a lot of reps, a lot of carrying, a lot of physical labor.
Have you done anything non-aerobic when you worked? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Scott.
No, I always did. It would always
You've
start
never lifted
light.
Weights?
No, I never did.
Okay, this happens when you're younger, and if you really work at it, once in a while, you'll do enough work where you'll look at your arm and be like, oh, there's some tone there, some definition.
Right.
Have you ever seen that?
No. The definition I had, it was a noun and it was useless. That was actually an adjective it was.
Okay, we have to take a break. Oh my God. Well, so Pony, I didn't know
it's French, la la.
Wasn't that a Pony segment?
It's so perfect,
right?
Though.
Wasn't that Pony?
It's who he
French
is.
And French and German.
He loves cooking. Ooh.
Yeah.
And he's an
I guess we're not allowed to fly through his airspace. I know that.
We'll take a break, come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Ah, it's Shannon.
Hello, boys.
Oh, nice.
It's me, Shannon. You know, the Oscar Santana scholarship winner. Oscar just gave me another pep talk about how I need to start pulling my weight. So I'm going to help out by promoting Tech 411.
Yes.
It's amazing. Oscar is out right now with his Tech 411 co-host and best friend, Todd Moore. Mm. Todd's probably surfing the back plane of a router.
Yeah.
If you catch my meaning. Anyway, tune in to Tech 411 on more broadcasting so Oscar can become a big success.
Saw
and
Todd.
I can keep milking him dry.
This weekend.
Buy a master's degree. Shannon in
the morning. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Hims. Here's a fact. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you notice, it's too late. Here's the solution. 4hims.com. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. 4hims.com connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions that treat hair loss. These are real prescriptions, yes. People. They are backed by science. No nonsense. Plus, no waiting rooms, no awkward doctor visits. If you're uncomfortable in that environment, which many people are, you don't have to worry about it. But you do have doctors. You send it in. You answer a few questions. The doctor reviews it. And the products are shipped directly to your door. It's that easy. Remember, it's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. Order now. Our listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost you hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/TMOS. That's FORHIMS.com/TMOS. Don't wait. 4hims.com/TMOS, and we thank you. All right, the beard is gone.
Yes.
The experiment is over. Mm. I see Rob's growing his. Oscar has his, but it just doesn't work, so we're done with that. I just wanted
to
say
one
day,
more time. One day next week is when I will color. I will come in also, and you will see it nice and dark.
It's growing in fast, man.
Rob grows a beard. That's the testosterone.
It's phenomenal.
And the elite athlete.
That's me.
Yeah.
What
roar.
He could be, But here's the thing. I want to give you a programming note as well for political persuasions. We've got a wonderful guest this week. Michael Steele from TV. You've seen Michael Steele, former head of the RNC. He is he's going to be joining us to talk about everything going on in the world and what a crazy world we live in right now.
Great guest.
So if you're a political junkie like I am, this is a big thrill. And we will be talking to Michael Steele on political persuasions this week. Very excited.
Mike,
about that.
If you don't mind, as far as programming notes are concerned, yesterday you tasked us after the show and we worked together collectively to find a new option for our telephone. What would be a phone scan in old timey radio and old school radio.
Right.
And you didn't want to know before the show. You said, guys, remind me to ask you about what you think you could call the new segment.
The new phone segment. Yes.
Yeah. We yesterday after the show, after we did the Talk to Us Tuesday, and we had some great phone calls. But as Oscar mentioned, when I was, bloviating about it, Oscar says, the nature of the way people consume this show with the long tail where people listen 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 a month after we do the show. People listen to the show on demand whenever they want to. and it does not lend itself to live phone calls.
Interaction,
it just,
yeah.
It just doesn't. It's not the way podcasts are done. People listen to podcasts when they can. It's like a DVR TV show. Mm-hmm. So the phone thing, I'm like, well, what are we going to do? And we bandied about some ideas, and one of the ideas was to have an inbox for mm-hmm. phone calls,
yes.
right? And I'll let you take it from here, because you guys were talking about it further, about how we're going to do phone calls from you so you can get yes. your voice on the Mike O'Mara Show, and how we're going to do it here.
So what's another option outside of a live phone call for a medium that it's on demand? Let's give you an on-demand option to interact with the show. So we left yesterday as a team saying, all right, we're going to come up with a way so you can use the current phone number, which is still valid.
Right.
And you will go into what is a voicemail. We don't want to call it voicemail. We don't want to call it inbox. It's already the mailbag.
Answering machine is very 1974.
We took everything yep. downstairs to the Podcast Village production engine.
Yes.
Sat in a team of probably 8-9 people.
And we Mike, said, you'll love this. We got the chairs in a circle.
We said very the good. TMOS team needs the podcast needs our help. We need something creative where we can come up with a name for what is our show voicemail box. And it was fun to see, especially these younger minds, start right. rattling off mm-hmm. what options they had. And Rob, what have we come up with?
Can I have a timpani, Mike?
Yes, absolutely. Timpani for you. Lay it on me.
In the next few days, you will have the ability to call us at the TMOS Yak Shack.
Yes!
Leave us a yak at the TMOS Yak Shack.
Yes.
Woo.
Woo. Yak Shack.
Yak Shack.
Yak Shack.
Yak Shack.
The yes. Yak Shack.
I've got me a Chrysler. It's as big as a whale, and it's about to set sail. Oh, the Yak Shack is a little bitty place where you can leave your message. Yak Shack, baby.
Like you were there.
That's exactly
what
went down.
I've got me a phone, and it's as big as a whale, and I'm going to call the TMOS show. Dial 888-920-6673 and leave your message for Rob, Oscar, and Mike on the Yak.
What is it called?
The Yak Shack.
The TMOS Yak Shack.
Now,
don't
when
forget
we discussed
your
it yesterday,
phone call money.
Yes,
mm-hmm. yes. Put your in to drop in your message for us.
correct me if I'm wrong. The Yak Shack will be open 24/7.
Yes,
there is no
like 7-Eleven.
You will be able to leave your messages, mm-hmm. and we are not going to have a hard set time. We are going to. It is a meritocracy.
Yes.
You will, your messages will be heard on the air based on their quality. We ask for not too much verbosity, that we would like you to, be short and quick.
Engage.
If there's something you would like to do, if there's something, the sky is the limit for the Yak Shack.
Just state your name, your location, and your business, and then, as Greaseman would say, ring off.
Rob, I'll probably need a track for the Yak Shack.
Of course, absolutely.
Yak Shack, baby. I've got me a cell phone, and it's ready to call, and I'm calling the TMOS Yak Shack.
Leave us a yak at the Yak Shack.
I can't wait.
So really, it's going to be whatever you want to call and talk
exactly.
about. Yes. And we just, it's our way of communicating just a little bit better with the listeners and not having to worry about. And by the way, you call us at 4 o'clock in the morning yeah. if you've got insomnia.
If you're hammered, you're like, I don't want to tell you how much I love
it. There's
going to
be a lot of that.
You want to ask about, my manic depression. You yeah. want to ask Rob about being on HBO. You want to ask Oscar whether he and Todd Moore truly lovers.
Yes.
Anything like that, we will put it in the Yak Shack. All right. So that's it.
Isn't that fun?
So stay tuned, folks. It's going to happen.
I'd love to get the beginning of that. I'm sorry. Now I've got that.
This is great.
I will have that earworm through St. Patrick's Day.
As part of
based,
it.
Based on that right now.
Well, we also, and this is the beauty, just a little inside baseball. We said we want people to, whether they're at the office or at home, to say, hey, what are
Excuse
you doing?
Excuse me, Oscar.
Oh, please.
All right.
Hey, everybody, get your phone in your hand and call the TMOS Yak Shack right now. Yes, sirree, it's going to be a wonderful way to communicate with our listeners.
Thank you. All right. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
It just would be funny if someone is explaining to a loved one or a coworker,
yes.
What are you doing? I'm leaving a message on the Yak Shack.
A yak. I'm leaving a yak.
Yak on the yak on the Yak Shack.
Yeah, you got to leave a yak on the Yak Shack. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
That's it's new lingo is what it is.
Yeah,
appreciate that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's news you may not need right here. And way to go, guys. Way to do it. Get everybody in a circle and do the Yak Shack. Fantastic.
Yeah,
we'll be doing that in the next couple of weeks. You'll be hearing calls from our Yak Shack. Who knows? Could be every day. Could be once a week. Could be once
Mike,
a month.
We'll get a call from all of our TMOS Yakkers.
The Yak Shack. We'll be right back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show.
For your consideration.
Brie, American, Gouda, mild cheddar, camembert, provolone, baby bell, parmesan, mascarpone, burrata, feta, ricotta, Gruyere, Asiago, gorgonzola, Havarti, Monterey Jack, Stilton, Swiss, Fontina, Pecorino Romano, and buffalo mozzarella.
She didn't name all of the cheeses, but she named enough of the cheeses. She's Madeline Masiello, the queen of cheese, only on the Mike O'Mara Show.
That's right. She's our favorite M&M, Maddie Masiello. Yes, Oscar.
This from the control room. The voicemail is now ready. It'll be ready by the time you hear this posted on actual iTunes or a Stitcher or wherever you listen. All we need from you, Mike, is after the show for you to cut a voicemail, and we'll be good to go.
An outgoing greeting.
Yeah, an outgoing greeting.
Thanks for calling the TMOS Yak Shack. Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. So when you were doing that, you heard me doing that? Is that how it worked? I like it when stuff works out that way. This portion of the program brought to you by MeUndies. Is your underwear making you happy at this very moment? God, that's growing on me. I swear to God, I'm thinking, yes, Rob.
I am wearing my MeUndies right now.
Ooh.
Do you have an adventurous pattern?
I do. They're dancing peaches.
Dancing peaches.
It's true.
Hey, that's my bit.
Sorry, buddy.
Wouldn't you love to be wearing underwear that's so soft you'll feel like you're making love to an actual cloud all day long? Well, MeUndies. MeUndies, MeUndies, MeUndies. BuzzFeed says MeUndies feel like actual heaven against your skin.
True.
Ask men, A-S-K-M-E-N.
Ask men, yes.
So they feel like silk drenched in hand lotion.
Very well said.
Ask men, I might have written it differently. MeUndies uses the coveted micromodal fabric, which is a full 3 times softer than cotton. Take that, big cotton.
Yeah.
Mm.
Plus, MeUndies gives you multiple style options for both men and women. Rob's wearing the peaches.
Peaches!
You choose between classic colors, adventurous prints. So it's really dancing peaches?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For the first-time purchasers, when you order MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. Why wait? Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you'll ever wear in your pants!
Mike, they are in my pants!
To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/TMOS. That's MeUndies.com/TMOS.
News!
News! Pants!
In a relationship made up of Kate Beckinsale and Pete Davidson, you would think Pete would be the one with the issues, but you might be wrong. A comedian by the name of Matt Rife dated Kate Beckinsale for about a year in 2017. TMZ caught up with him and asked him if he had any advice for Pete.
Oh, boy.
After struggling for the right words, he said this. Run.
Ah!
Actually, that's not all he said. He added, quote, enjoy it while you can. I hope they're both happy. I hope that it can build to where it's an established good relationship. I wish them both the best. Run. That's funny.
Am I the only one who's getting tired of Pete Davidson dating in
yes,
the news?
Yes. Why? Well, yeah. Well, you know.
I mean, he seems like a nice enough guy, but, don't be jamming your tongue down her throat at the ball game.
That's that's his ticket, man. Yeah. That's how he gets his fame. That's of course. He's
also,
doing that.
Don't you feel happy that he's not an Adonis? Like he's looks like a regular guy.
I bet he's never done a pull up. It's
thing.
A tie.
He has a tattoo of a person doing a pull up.
That's nice. That's good. I think that's
appreciate that. All right, more celebrities we really don't like in the news. Last summer, Forbes raised some eyebrows when they said Kylie Jenner I do not do by absolute design on this show.
Yeah.
I do not do Jenner or Kardashian stories. I avoid them. Mm-hmm. This one I just thought would be interesting, so I put it up there.
Okay.
Forbes raised eyebrows when they said Kylie Jenner was poised to become the youngest self-made billionaire in history, not because of the billionaire part, because of the self-made part. Well, it's official. She's officially worth $1 billion. And at 21 years old, she did it 2 years faster than the previous record holder, Mark Zuckerberg. As you surely know by now, most of Kylie's money comes from Kylie Cosmetics, which she launched 4 years ago. The business is now worth more than $900 million, and she owns 100% of it. Naturally, everyone is once again mocking Forbes for calling Kylie self-made. She wasn't exactly an unknown teenager in Nebraska with a dream. She started a career on third base thanks to her regular appearances on her family's reality shows beginning when she was 10.
I like that starting on third base.
Starting on third base. People exactly. started buying her lip kits because of who she was, not because of what the product was. Doesn't matter. She took it. She ran with
it. Yeah, look
she's
at her brother Rob. He's That's done right. nothing.
Yeah.
And you Bingo. Know,
yeah.
Thank and you. She Thank has you never much. Done a pull-up.
Thank you, Rob. Radio stations in New Zealand and Canada have dropped Michael Jackson from their playlists following new accusations of abuse by the late pop star in the documentary we've been discussing all week called Leaving Neverland. In the two-part film, which began airing on HBO on Sunday, Wade Robson and James Safechuck accused the singer of sexual abusing them over a period of several years with graphic detail. They called it a public lynching, the Jackson estate said. And is suing HBO, which shares a parent company with CNN Warner Media. While some fans have taken to the singer's defense, lots of fans have.
Yep.
On social media, others have expressed support for his alleged victims and have discussed feeling uncomfortable about listening to Jackson's music. We're in that camp, yep. a few of us. In the wake of the allegations in New Zealand, multiple major radio stations have pulled Jackson's music from their airwaves, including commercial broadcaster MediaWorks. So who knows? But look, it's just I urge you to formulate your own opinion and watch the documentary and don't be swayed by the seduction of celebrity and keep an open mind because, you know, yes, Oscar.
I found it interesting because we were so open about the discussion here on the program that I thought I would have heard so much more on talk radio overall about...
Pretty stunned that it's not out there.
And then I sat there...
And also regular television media.
I think they're scared to talk about it.
For those of you that are listening right now and you're like, I don't want to deal with that in my life. It's so unpleasant. I would suggest at least take in an hour if you can to really understand. This is not about Michael Jackson per se. It's more about awareness.
Yeah.
And really... understanding like this happens and this could happen. This happened in front of the entire world.
Under their noses.
I think it's an important discussion to have.
Yes.
And regardless, take the Michael Jackson factor out of the equation. When you hear about, there are people out here, out there that do this and it's very, very scary. Yes, Rob.
It is my feeling that anyone that is coming right to Michael Jackson's defense and blindly saying that this is nonsense probably hasn't invested any time in watching the documentary.
You might be
and
right.
I say this, which stands true. Those people who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. It's not going to kill you to try to understand yeah. what could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and for me, it's the victims on the documentary.
Yep.
If you want to know why I believe them, it's their demeanor. I just felt the pain, especially the Safechuck kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just looked... He looks like he is so devastated to this day by this. I just don't think they're faking it. I just don't.
Either.
And you know what? Macaulay Culkin, who knows what his reality is? Just because it happened to these two guys, you know, who knows? Macaulay Culkin was a much bigger star. You don't know. But it's very, very devastating for these guys. And I believe them. It's my truth. Here's how bad our road rage is. A recent poll found that for every 100 miles you drive, you swear 41 times. I can't. My kid's in the car. That's about once every 2.5 miles. But 40%, 46% of us still don't think we curse too much behind the wheel. Here are the top 10 things that make us swear while we're driving. Why do I think these are completely made up? Number one, someone cuts you off. Number two, almost getting hit by someone changing lanes. Same thing as getting cut off. Number three, seeing someone texting and driving. I've gotten pissed at that. Number four, drivers who don't use their turn signals. Gotten pissed at that. Number five, a pedestrian stepping into the road without looking. I got pissed at that. Number six, drivers who won't turn off their brights. Hate that.
Hate it.
Number seven, someone driving too slowly in front of you. Mm. Welcome to Florida. Nice DeVille. Someone taking up two spaces in a parking lot. Horrific.
Yes.
Hate it. Number nine, drivers who don't wave to say thanks when you let them in. Maybe this is a legitimate survey. And number 10, people who drive slowly in the fast lane and won't move over. All those things. I'm in on all of them, absolutely.
My favorite road rage story, when we were coming back from Las Vegas, my mom picked me up at the airport just because it worked out that way. She lives very close to Dulles. And she was, and Pony was actually with me at this point. She was talking to text as I was telling her what gate I was
together
at.
Together, as living together.
Yes, we were. Yes. Holding hands. And I got a text from my mother. I didn't realize it was voice to text. And she says, I should be to gate 8 in about 2. And then it said, S word, what the hell is this AH doing? Because she was doing voice to text, and then, you know, she got cut off. I just thought, and it's always great when your mother not only cusses, but actually has a documented case of it.
Yeah. Do you guys ever watch YouTube road rage videos?
I didn't know such a thing existed.
Oh, enjoy your evening. Yeah, you can do that for like 10 hours. It's Ash Wednesday, which marks the start of Lent, but apparently fewer and fewer people go to actual churches these days.
I've already been today, Mike.
That's wonderful. God bless you, Rob. Apparently,
people on your forehead.
Don't have the time to do it anymore.
Right.
I used to do it. I used to have them right there. Man, you are dust, and into dust you shall return. A newspaper in New Jersey ran a story on how ashes to go is more popular than ever. What's wrong with us?
Oh, they can fix your iPhone screen at work. Why not come ash you up?
That's where priests draw crosses on people. Draw crosses.
This had to have been written by a disc jockey. Hey, man.
That's where priests draw crosses on people's foreheads outside train stations and coffee shops so they can just knock it out on their way to work and not be late. It's also kind of saying, I am a Catholic.
Oh, yeah.
I just did Monty Python. I'm a Catholic. Well, that means I have a cross on my forehead. This isn't a new idea, by the way.
No, dude, we're Protestants. We could use a French tickler.
Sheaves from every... All right, anyway. A church in St. Louis started the ashes to go thing over a decade ago to reach more people than other churches followed suit. It's just more popular now. Oh, because we're all so scary busy.
Of course.
Oh. And, oops. What happened to my thing?
What happened? Maybe we can get some ashes next door. You think I got them?
Oh, downstairs. Oh, you mean at the...
In the Catholics next door, yeah.
No, Rob, you probably could.
Yeah, I might head over there, Mike. I will tell you, I tricked you. I didn't really go to Mass this morning.
I'm trying to get my thing.
And really broke down all the businesses and people that... There are nuns and fathers across the hall from our business.
Hello?
Which is fun.
Yes.
And there are disc jockeys.
And then there's escape rooms. Yes. Multiple escape rooms in this building.
News.
News.
Hold on a second. Well, I get it. I know what I did.
What happened?
I'm sorry. I just had my little sound.
Thank you very much.
Now a little something. A California hospital is raising colon cancer awareness with an unusual prop. It is a giant, this is new, near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It is a giant inflatable colon on a Los Angeles corner, the University of California, Los Angeles. Johnson Comprehensive Cancer Center erected the giant inflatable colon on a corner in the Westwood neighborhood as part of Colon Cancer Awareness Month.
Nice.
The inflatable model includes a massive models of polyps and cancer cells. The Dr. Folame, who is the health director, told KABC, there's definitely an ick factor. People don't like talking about the rectum or their stool. But the problem is people are dying from these diseases, over 50,000 Americans each year. Well, Doc, come to the Mike O'Mara Show, where we make a living talking about our rectum and our stool. And not the kind you pull up to the bar. Am I right, ladies?
Ladies.
There you go.
In my pants.
Right. You want to hear rectum and stool? You've come to the right place. We'll take a break.
Rectum bought your house.
With the audio of all right here. Rectum, I hardly knew him. Right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Political Persuasions.
Hey, it's Chris Freitz with Political Persuasions. This week, Mike and I talk about the Cohen hearing and find some hope in the hearing room and a message Americans are hungry for. Tune in.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by the TMOS Shopping Center. Wednesday, as you know, is named after the ancient god Woden.
True.
Mm. In other languages, the day's name derived from Dies Mercuri, meaning the day of Mercury.
Also true.
Ah, yes. Mercury. Mm. It's the one thing you hate in your tuna, but you love in a thermometer. Am I right? Huh? Yeah. Be it oral or rectal. There it is.
Yeah, see?
Rectum.
Right.
Be it oral or rectal, mercury is a must-have fever finder.
Gotta have it, Mike. If you want to know if you got a fever, you put that thermometer in one of two places, and it'll tell you.
Gross. And you can buy any thermometer you want, or any kind of canned tuna, or parts for your Mercury automobile, or music from Freddie Mercury. At MikeOmaraShow.com, it features Macy's, Target, and Walmart. When you shop these retailers through our portal, you're supporting the Mike O'Mara Show. It costs you nothing, means the world to us. So, the next time you need anything, be mercurial! Ah!
That was for Just Pony. Pony likes
that. Go to the TMOS Shopping Center. It has everything. And remember, mercury is like pretty liquid metal, but don't drink it. Macy's, Target, Walmart, and TMOS. If you drink it, you die. Let's open up the audio vault for today, Wednesday, March 6th. You drink mercury, you die.
And that's really the takeaway from today's show, isn't it?
If you drink mercury, you die. That's how we help.
Yeah.
What we're here for, we help.
And don't put it in your tuna, Mike.
No. Don't put it on top of your tuna like, you know, salsa.
That's right. But salsa's delicious. Mike, in Brooklyn, it's cold. In D.C., it's cold. We are so close to spring. We are into March.
It's depressing March.
And it is cold.
Down here this morning.
Well, how cold? How cold?
I'm not going to tell you. It'll piss you off.
All right.
It was. I think maybe the mercury got down to 47 degrees this morning.
Oh. Don't drink it.
Yep. Yeah, let me see what temperature.
What's your high?
Let me see. Hold on a second.
Doug Cameron is saying a possibility of 1 to 3 inches of snow on Friday.
I heard.
So it's
Doug
happening.
Cameron and his cleft.
Oh, man. He is a good-looking man. I bet you he has a lot of thermometers at his house. And I bet he's done
cleft
a lot
in
of pull-ups.
His
chin. Okay. A lot it of pull-ups.
It is 57 now.
Ah, just like the Heinz Corporation.
The high temperature today will be only 66 degrees. And then overnight tonight, it will be 48 degrees.
Ooh.
Wow. How's the barometric pressure?
Oh, it's working, wreaking havoc on my balls.
Thank you. But this lady in Brooklyn says
78 tomorrow. Sorry, Oscar.
Oh, beautiful.
A great man on the street interview, but it's a woman. She's saying we need to stop complaining about the weather. And she's very, very emphatic.
We getting mad because of snowing, but it's winter outside. I mean, we are a bunch of weird people, okay? If it was summer and it was snowing, yes, it is winter. It's winter. Hello, it's winter. Hello, about 3-4 weeks ago, it was what? 3 degrees outside. It's a heat wave out here now. Hello, it's winter. Yes, I'm not surprised. I love it. It's winter. Let's work with it. This is a heat wave. 3 degrees 3 weeks ago. How soon we forget.
Mike, that is
Linda Herr, the Cub Run Elementary School Teacher of the Year.
That's right.
Congratulations, Linda. Congratulations.
Hello, it's winter.
Yep. I love that.
I'd be frustrated with those little crumb crunchers as well. Congratulations. On a serious note, congratulations. One of my favorite listeners of TMOS, Linda Herr, who is the Cub Run Elementary Teacher of the Year.
Yeah.
I'm giving her a round of applause. I sent her a personal message. She's a sweetheart.
Linda.
And I said, I wish my kid was in your classroom. Wonderful lady. Sweet. I'm glad to have her. It'd be so much fun to have her for a teacher with her wild hair. Mm-hmm. It'd be great.
Are you still watching The Bachelor?
Of course.
Mike, he's a virgin this year. And you would think that would be just something they mentioned in passing, right?
No.
They have mentioned his virginity 57 times this season.
The first time I tried to date a virgin, and come to find out, he's a virgin. When I got a hold of him, he was not a virgin anymore.
Like, I'm not a virgin.
Being a virgin. I'm not a virgin.
I'm not a virgin.
I'm a virgin.
Like, why are you a virgin?
We don't need to talk about virginity.
And about 62 more times other than
Maddie's
that.
Maddie's a big fan of The Bachelor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
My favorite contestant on The Bachelor, the one that I hope wins, is the one that said this.
Hello, it's winter.
It's winter in his ball sack.
Yeah, in my pants. Mike, when small-time news anchors slip up and they can't catch themselves, that's when the news is the best ball sack. Ball sack, yeah.
You have to be really careful out there.
You do. We've had six consecutive days of rain.
Well, then.
Did I just...
Okay. All right. That was a Freudian slip, but we're going to pretend like we didn't hear it.
I'm going to lose it now. Listen.
Before we get back to her trying to regain composure, what I love is the people in the sound department keep the thumping news bed going under it. So yeah, it's got like driving momentum here.
Cold
I love
outside.
It.
That's what I have to say, Tony. And it's not raining. That's good news. Freeze warnings in effect.
Ellen.
She's shy.
Yeah.
It's so cold. Listen, it's going to be chilly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way about that.
Yeah, but do you feel
I'm
like
not even looking at her, but I feel the same
also,
way. Because she's so loud most of the time.
That's right, exactly.
The production staff in the background,
laughing.
You can hear. I mean, I like it when the behind the scenes people just can't take it. They're just dying. It doesn't matter if the news is on.
I guarantee you 4 of 7 field reporters all went, yep.
I tell you that I watch the late night road rage videos. I'm also a connoisseur of the news blooper, and the funniest ones for me are when the news blooper comes on and they are they're not saying something bad, they're not doing something themselves, they're reacting to a story that's inappropriate to laugh at.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if they're in the middle of two stories where they have to get it together because the next story is about death and dismemberment and stuff, that to me is the best because they're really trying to cover their ass.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's my fave.
I like that. I like that so much stuff in rock and roll is stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Riffs and drum beats and stuff, but no one ever cops to it.
Okay.
This week in an interview, Nancy Wilson came out and told us when and where they stole the riff for Barracuda.
We'd been opening for a band called Nazareth in Europe, and Nazareth had a hit with a Joni Mitchell song that they covered called This Flight Tonight that had that kind of that riff. And so we kind of borrowed that and we made it into Barracuda. And then we saw the guys from Nazareth later and they were pissed. You took our riff. But, you know, you borrow from what you love and then you make it your own.
And you know Nazareth. They had big hits with Love Hurts and
Hair
of the Dog. But here's for a comparison. Here's Heart.
Oh,
versus
good.
Nazareth.
You got him. Good. I want to hear him.
This is, of course, we start with Heart. One of the greatest riffs ever. Here's Nazareth.
You know what?
Different
okay,
enough.
Let me tell you why I give them a pat, because they made that riff, which is forgettable,
right,
into something unforgettable because they did the high end of the on that.
But I do love that they came back and Nazareth was pissed.
They
I love
pissed.
That. And I love that she cops to it. I think that's awesome.
Nazareth.
Yeah, we had two hit records. You're a jerk. Let's close with this. Jimmy Kimmel, I want to say, everyone, it is Ash Wednesday, which means yesterday was Fat Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Or Mardi Gras.
It's Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras harkens back to the 17th century when the King of France sent Catholic missionaries to Louisiana Territory to flash their boobs in exchange for beads. The official slogan of Mardi Gras is Laissez le bon temps rouler, which is French for I vomited in an Uber today.
That's your magic audio vault. Have a great Wednesday.
Laissez bon temps rouler.
Oh, that's French.
Bonjour.
Like pony.
That's another one in the can, German-French pony. Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. If you've got a message you'd like to hear, what a great mailbag we had today.
Yes.
Send it to Rob with 2 B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And we are opening up the Yak Shack for you, where you can call us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. And leave a message about anything you want. Can't guarantee it's going to get on the air. But it might get on there. Because we've opened the Yak Shack. Anyway, thanks for doing that, guys. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara thanking you for your continued amazing support for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show is made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Hello, it's winter.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I've not yet begun to defile myself.
That's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Goodbye, Judy.